In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, it's a little unusual that we have the Sunday before the Nativity falling on Christmas Eve day. And so we get, normally there's a little bit more distance between it, and we get to sort of stretch out our celebration. We heard at the end of the gospel the account of Christ's birth to get us kind of headed in that direction, to get us primed for the feast. So we have today to finish that work. And we read in the Synaxarion this morning for the Sunday of Christ's genealogy that the gospel shows us that Christ truly became a man, taking on human nature. That he was not a ghost or an apparition, a myth, some distant god, nor the abstract god of philosophers, because such a god does not have a family tree. Our God is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He has flesh and blood. He has human ancestors, many of whom sinned greatly, but, like David, also repented greatly. I take such hope from that line, that many of Christ's human ancestors sinned greatly, but, like David, also repented greatly. There's still hope for me. Glory to God. But as rich as Christ's lineage is, I would like to turn to another very rich source of understanding of God's great mercy and providence for us. And that is the Triparion for the fourth feast of the Nativity that we've been singing between December 20th and the 23rd. This is one that has had a special meaning for me from my youth. So, Rito Nicodemus, will you please sing for us? Thank you. And we have so many wonderful hymns in our church that often we get used to hearing them and we sing them without really considering what are we actually praying. And so let's take a moment to do that, to look at this hymn a little more closely. Be thou ready, Bethlehem. Eden has opened unto all. Paradise, which was closed since Adam, is now opened in Christ's manifestation in the flesh, which we come together to celebrate tonight. And this indeed is something that we ought to and need to prepare ourselves for. We have the opportunity for paradise, brothers and sisters. So let's live like we believe it. Let's live like we are preparing ourselves for paradise. And the hymn continues. Ephrathah, prepare thyself, for behold, now the tree of life has blossomed forth in the cave from the Holy Virgin. This word Ephrathah is another more ancient name for the city of Bethlehem, and it means fruitful. It's a reminder of the fruitful life of virtue that prepares us to receive Christ. We are given many opportunities to bear virtuous fruit during this nativity season. And these opportunities are meant to continue not only up until Christmas, but into the future, that we're to incorporate them into our lives. We have opportunities for generosity, of giving charitably. We have opportunities for acts of service to our family, to our church community, to our neighbors. We have opportunities to glorify God in the services and opportunities to moderate our life through fasting and prayer. You'll also notice in the hymns, and this one in particular, a great emphasis on the Theotokos. We have so many Old Testament images of how the world has been preparing for thousands of years for the incarnation of God in this faithful girl. And we have the icon of the burning bush up here. And that burning bush that held fire but was not consumed by it is the image of the Theotokos, who held Christ in his womb, the God who created the universe, contained in this small space. And following this, we then sing, "Her womb hath proved to be a true spiritual paradise." We praise the Theotokos in this way, calling her womb paradise, because paradise is where God is. Where God is becomes paradise. We also call her more spacious than the heavens, as the uncontainable God came to dwell within her womb. And we continue. Wherein the divine and saving tree is found. The tree of life, brothers and sisters, is the cross. We hear this all throughout the hymnology all year long. And so you might think to yourself, why reference the cross, the crucifixion, at Christ's birth? Isn't that a different feast? We already did that one, or maybe we'll do it later. But Christ, after his birth, is wrapped in swaddling clothes, the same way that a person is prepared for burial. Every feast in the Christian calendar points to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. I've stolen this from Father Thomas Hopko, but Pascha is like the bright white light being refracted through the prism into these many and varied festal colors. This one's red. And so every feast, even Christ's birth, points to his death and resurrection on our behalf. And then we sing, "And as we eat thereof, we shall all live and not die as did Adam." And there's a strong connection, very strong connection, between Christ's nativity, the Eucharist, and Pascha. Very strong. Not only because, you know, today is Sunday and a celebration of the resurrection, and tonight we'll celebrate the Divine Liturgy as we're doing now, and in both cases we'll take the body and blood of Christ. But going back to the very early church, this connection was established. You know, the hymn that we're dissecting now is actually the first prayer that the priest says at the service of Proskomedi when he prepares the bread and the wine to be offered in the Eucharist. And the icon that hangs above the prothesis table, you on this side might be able to see it. Everyone on this side, after liturgy, come over here and take a look. But what's the icon? It's the Nativity. This is the theme of the preparation for the Eucharist. And then we take that those gifts that are being offered in the great entrance, Christ coming amongst his people. And then we bring him and place him on the tomb of the altar. From womb at the prothesis table, around and then up to the tomb on the altar. And then in his resurrection, he gives all life to all in the Eucharist. And he comes to dwell in you. Adam had separated himself through food from God, but we in the Eucharistic meal are united to him. And this beautiful hymn concludes, "For Christ is born now to raise the image that had fallen aforetime." We are called as human beings to something greater, a greater life and existence than the one that we are living now. And that life is available to us. We don't have to wait for it. Our Lord has opened the door for us to restore that icon of God that is planted within our hearts, but that we continually cover up with the dirt and grime of our sins and weaknesses. God has become man. He has entered into his corrupted creation to heal it and to raise it up, to set it back on course, so that we might exchange sin and death for eternal life. As a child, I had a real special connection to this hymn. I honestly don't know why, because I didn't understand what it was saying. I didn't get it, but I loved it. It spoke to my heart. There was truth that I didn't intellectually comprehend. We see in it the depth and the beauty of God's love and care for us. His desire that we, like the righteous ancestors of Christ, live in and according to him in virtue and repentance. Even though there's no mention of light in this hymn, this is what that hymn was to me as a child. Hope. A light in the darkened world. That through Adam and Eve, through Adam and Eve, sin and death entered into the world. Yet through Christ being born of the Theotokos, creation is blessed and the way to paradise is opened again. God has joined his people. Like Daniel in the lion's den and the three holy youths in the fiery furnace, God has joined his people to save them. So let us come to the cave tonight, preparing a place in us to receive Christ and be renewed in him. Amen.